Amen. Well, I tell you, I've been doing a lot of research, and of course, God has burdened my heart. He has always burdened my heart for messages, and I'm concerned this morning for our country, for the nation Israel. This morning's message is going to be entitled, "The Apple of His Eye." The Apple of His Eye. Now we know the Bible clearly says the world in which we live will come to an end. The disciples came to Jesus in Matthew 24, and as they were seated together up there on the Mount of Olives, they asked Jesus, what be the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now the Word of God tells us the world as we know it will end. It also tells us how the world will end. It also says when the world will end. And it gives us signs to look for announcing the coming of the end. So along those lines, let's stand, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in respect of the reading of the Word. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. You there say amen. Amen. I appreciate all y'all coming today. May God bless you 100-fold. Now the prophet Zechariah stated that whosoever touches the Jewish people to harm them touches the apple or the pupil of God's eye. And let's read that. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. Let's pray. Heavenly gracious Father, the Holy One of Israel, our Lord and Savior. Father, there's so much that's outside these doors, and there's so much as we as your children battles daily with. And I see it, and other pastors sees the end is approaching. And Father, teach us how important it is to stay in unity and one accord. How important it is to recognize when your people hurt. And when your people hurt, somebody has poked your eye, Father. Teach us more this morning. May we be receptive to your message. In God's precious name I pray, amen and amen. You can be seated, please. According to Bible prophecy, we're racing towards the end of time that the world has, as we know it, is coming to a rapid conclusion. If you listen closely, and I love this little statement, I've used it a couple of times in the last 9 years. If you listen closely, you hear the thundering hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse racing towards the battle of Armageddon. In which the Bible says that the blood will literally flow up to the horse's bridle in that great war. After a few years ago, if you recall, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has signed a peace accord in Hebron with Yasser Arafat in the PLO. And yet, now catch this, and yet there's no peace. In the future, Israel is going to be forced to negotiate to surrender some of its land with Syria and the Palestinians and the Golan Heights and Gaza Strip. And church, listen, we're talking about the rest of the West Bank, so to speak. Now, stay with me. It is God's divine order that the city of Jerusalem be under the control of the Jewish people until Jesus Christ returns. Now turn with me real fast to Genesis chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I'm laying the foundation. This is our text for this morning. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's good. Again, verse 3 states that there was a blessing or a curse associated with Abraham and his descendants, the Jews. Do y'all believe that? Say amen. Amen. Other words, the people who blesses Abraham's descendants will be blessed. The people who curses the descendants will be cursed. Folks, I'm concerned, as I stated, for the country this morning. I'm really, really concerned for this direction. Y'all know I love America. I am American. Now, that's not just a collection of words, but that is an expression of my heart. But somewhere along the way, I believe we have forgotten that. So we feel small and helpless as our one nation under God drifts away. Now, I believe that the United States has turned its back on the nation of Israel for the last time. Now, I didn't vote to change the republic. I voted to change Washington. We wanted God back in America. We wanted the lies, corruption out of Washington. But instead, we got a socialistic government led by the Muslim who hates the Jews and had redefined our American dream. Amen? Now, listen to what I'm about to say. Our political leaders have become nothing more than parasites who feed off our sweat and off our blood. They failed to appreciate American potential or recognize her superiority. Amen? These liberals have begun to call themselves progressives instead because of this new and forward thinking. But the truth is that it's nothing but. It is a movement that requires Americans to sever the ties to our founding forefathers and follow an evolving social gospel instead. After 9/11, you thought our country had changed for the better, but the months that followed proved other words. Think about it. We have stricken God out of every aspect of our society. We have redefined marriage. We have murder over 1 million unborn babies. They may call it pro-choice, but God calls it murder. We have accepted a socialistic agenda which helped produce a fragmentation of a society. That is, people are encouraged not to think of themselves as Americans or even as people, but as members of a certain gender, race, culture, or moral. This fragmentation of society is encouraged by the feminists, by the homosexuals and other civil rights activists who seek acceptance and special privileges for themselves. We have accepted nearly all the religions around the world. Now listen to what I'm about to say here. When you drop the security walls and you're going to have this free-for-all to come over, with it comes diseases. With it comes false religions. And with it now, criminals. Amen. We have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have now out there over 200 new Bibles. We have turned the Church of God into entertainment centers, into social clubs, and taught the people to use the grace of God as a license to sin. We have put politics over the lives of people. We have rewritten the Declaration of Independence. Believe it or not, we said idly by and watch as our hard blood won freedom slowly dissolved into a puddle of apathy, political correctness, and outright corruption. And on top of all that, we had turned our backs against God's people. We literally had turned our backs against Israel. How do I know that they're God's chosen people? Well, the Word of God tells us that. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, you'll find that. Again, I want us to center in on our text this morning. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God to bless our nation. Amen. But I'm afraid with the Obama administration and his political leader, they had touched the apple of God for the last time. Amen. Think about it. From his founding, America had always blessed the children of Abraham. They have. And like Europe, the Jews never suffer organized persecution in America. Verbally, yes, but not physically. For most of American history, the Jews were treated as equal citizens. However, the period from the 1990s to this present day proved an exception. I believe the darkest time in American history is now. Are we not tempting God here? When we try to tell Israel to give up some of his land, which was promised by God under a blood covenant? Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 13. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. And the Lord said to Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. Y'all see that? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed forever. It says what it says. I don't care what the world leaders are saying tonight, this morning. That land belongs to Israel. Even up into Jordan. Even over to Assyria. That actually belongs to Israel. And please understand, when you have a president who despises the president of Israel, expect the judgment of God to come. The prophet Obadiah wrote of the time we are living in. He refers to the time of Israel restoration to the land as the approaching day of the Lord. And that prophecy has been fulfilled. The prophet states that during this time, God deals with any nation in direct relation to how that nation interacts with Israel. If a nation blesses Israel, God's going to bless them. If a nation curses Israel, God's going to curse them. Amen. I had always said, even with the abortion clinics and the same-sex marriages going on in our socialistic government, the only thing that's keeping an eye on America right now, we got a little string left, is our support for Israel. And I believe it's been broken over these last 2 weeks. Amen. Obadiah 1:15 says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done it, shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. Today a debate rages in the media as to whether or not the United States of America is a Christian nation. Recently, our first black president even stated, we are a Muslim nation, not because of the number of citizens that are followers of Muhammad and worship Allah. Now, I taught on Allah. I taught against him. That's not the same God we serve. It's a moon God. Study it out. Quoting from the Quran, four times the president said, Islam had always been a part of American story, and that's straight out of hell. And it's wrong. It's wrong for a president to announce to the world that the United States is not a Christian nation, but rather a Muslim nation. Back in April 2010, on national television, Obama startled many Americans by proclaiming in a speech that America is no longer a Christian nation, but a nation of citizens who are bound by ideals. Bound by ideals in a set of values. I wonder why he's saying this. Remember, Obama pastored for 20 years is an anti-American pastor. Amen. Y'all with me? Y'all know who I'm talking about, Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Instead of him saying from the pulpit, it was on national TV a few years ago, God bless America, he literally used God's name in vain. He's an anti-American. He's a big supporter of the ACLU. He's a big supporter of the Black Panthers. And you don't mention the white man around him. Now this was a president over Obama for 20 years. Recently, Obama declares that the United States is not going to engage in a war on terrorism. Now, I said the word terrorism, but he and his administration will not breathe the word terrorism. It's extremist. He refused to call these Islamic terrorists. I wonder why. Yes, sir. In 2010, he argued that the term jihadist should not be used to describe America's enemy. And I wonder why. Even to this day, he refused to call these Islamic or jihadists or ISIS terrorists. Over there in Yemen, just a few months ago, y'all watch the news, I hope and pray you do. They denounced what the Republicans and their far-right media are saying. There was trouble brewing over there in Yemen just a couple months ago. Yeah. Now Obama administration declares that Yemen is was a threat. But now today, we're talking about just 3-4 weeks ago. Well, let's just say last month, listen, the State Department states Yemen is now in the control of ISIS. I'm tired of the lies. Every time anybody from the Washington area speaks, it just shivers me because I know it's going to be a lie. And listen, listen, who's the father of all lies? Amen. He's just trying to mess me up while I preach this morning. We're just going to go ahead and load up in our cars, go win some of the Lord if he continues choking me. Amen. Millions of Muslims, especially around Muslims, have been raised with the hatred of Jews and Americans, not to mention Christianity. The Washington Post and New York Times both have reported on Islamic schools in America that teach hatred for America and the Jews. And you remember, and I used this little quote three times in the last 6-7 years. Y'all remember back right before the election in 08? They had a debate on national TV with John McCain, and Obama. And the question was asked, it went to John McCain first. If any country came in and tried to destroy Israel, what would your action, what kind of action would you take? McCain didn't think about it. He just said, well, fight. That's what he says. Well, then the question was turned to Obama, and some of y'all heard this statement before. And Obama avoided the question. I wonder why. Now, this is not a call to hate Muslims. It's a call to acknowledge Muslims' hate. Amen? Let me give you a fact here. In a speech on March 20th of 2006, President Bush said that Israel is an ally, and the United States will use military might to defend Israel from Iran. This is what your last president said. There's no other country in the world, this is what he says, there's no other country in the world that is so boldly declare its allegiance with Israel. What other country will come to Israel aid should be attacked. Amen? A section of the president's March 20th speech follows. He says this, Bush here says this. But now that I am on Iran, the threat from Iran is, of course, their stated objective to destroy our strong ally, Israel. He says that. He says, that's a threat, a serious threat. It's a threat to world peace. It's a threat, in essence, to a strong alliance. He says this, I made it clear. I make it clear again that we will use military might to protect our ally, Israel. A far cry from what our Muslim president says today. He wants to do, a nuclear arm deal with a regime who wants to blow Israel off the map. You can't sit down at a table and drink coffee with somebody who wants to threaten world peace. And Friday, Obama criticized Netanyahu over his warning that Arab Israel, now, we had over in Israel, the voters, would vote in droves. That's what the Netanyahu said. Obama also indicated that that kind of heroic was contrary to what is best for Israel's traditions. That's what Obama says, trying to put words in the prime minister's mouth. The one that's a holy and guided by God. Y'all understand how important this is? You see, you touch Netanyahu and threaten him and his country, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Y'all with me? Amen. The bottom line is this. The Obama administration indicated it could withdraw its unwavering support for Israel at the United Nations. And that sounds, this is just yesterday, a couple days ago, that sounds like a threat to me towards the nation of Israel. Here's a biblical fact. Israel is the only nation that was ever created by the sovereign act of God. That's fact. All other nations were created by man through the acts of war. But God, in his genesis of time, took Abraham and said, I'm going to give you the promised land, and I'm inscribing the definition of the borders of that promised land. And it's in my words, he says. It's in my words. For every generation to know that this is your property. That's what God says. He says to Abraham, I will give you this land as far as your eyes could see. Genesis 13, 14, 15. Folks, the boundary of Israel is stated clearly in the scriptures. And God is the only one who has the right to give it. No one else has the right to give it. For earth is the Lord in the fullness of it. Belongs to God. God, the Creator, gave it to Abraham and his descendants, being Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that land was given by a blood covenant, by the word of God, and is forever and forever and forever. Yeah. That means the land belongs to Jewish people today, tomorrow, 20 years from now, for all eternity. It belongs to the Jewish people. Now turn with me real fast to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. I know this is preaching, but also it's a teaching sermon. Now, please, I want y'all to please stay with me on this. You're not going to get this type of message down the street in the Southern Baptist Church or some liberal church. Because you got too many Democrats, Republicans in there, and they don't want to offend nobody. Listen, I'm a far-right conservative because Jesus was a conservative. I ain't talking about being a Democrat or a Republican to make you right with God. I'm saying there's a God in heaven said, thus saith the Lord, this is the way it's going to be. Amen. Amen. Let's look at this, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I give to their fathers, and they shall possess it. You'll find this also in Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 25 and 26. That tells us, listen, Ezekiel 28 tells us the same thing, that God will bring back to the land, we're talking about the Jewish people here. They will return back to the promised land. So how did they get scattered off the land in the first place? By breaking the Mosaic covenant. And what is the Mosaic covenant? The Ten Commandments. That's exactly what was happening. So God used the enemy, the Babylonians, and they were taken in captivity for 70 years. Why? Because Israel refused to listen to God. But the covenant still stands. The covenant still stands. But God said, okay, you're not listening. You're worshiping idols. You're committing adultery. You're lying. You're serving false gods. You're not honoring your mother and your daddy. That is breaking the Ten Commandments. It was a covenant to the nation of Israel. And that covenant never saved nobody. It just showed the Israelites how bad sin is. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to a holy father. Do we understand that? Amen. And since, and then once again, because of Israel's sin, the Romans under General Titus destroyed in 70 AD destroyed Jerusalem. And many of the Jews scattered. Some stayed and some got killed. And since then, the Bible prophecy states God will one day return all of the Jews right before Jesus comes, God says he's going to return all the Jews back to their homeland. Jeremiah 30 says it. Ezekiel 28 says it. Ezekiel 37, you see a prophecy pertaining to the vision of the valley of dry bones. And God literally used Ezekiel here in a vision. And those bones begin to have flesh on it. And that body begin to come alive. And God says this. Now this is Ezekiel chapter 37. Y'all with me? Verses 10 through 13. Those bones came alive. He literally breathed. He breathed life into the bones and they came alive. And that was a prophecy pertaining to the nation of Israel coming alive again to return back to their homeland. And who are we to say, how dare we tip Israel saying you need to have a peace treaty thing on this and on this and try to tell Israel what to do with their land. That's just blows my mind. All the other American presidents, they stand their ground and say, hey, we're gonna that's our greatest ally. And I'm afraid Israel said, man, we don't want nothing to do with that administration. You study this thing, this ain't in my notes. You study this thing every time when a country goes against Israel, even in physical war or verbally, there's a disaster that happens within hours or days. Right. Study it out. It's been through the history of mankind. Read it, study it out, pull it up on your website. You'll see it. And we're about to see the wrath of God. I don't know when, I don't know what, and I don't know why. Yeah, I do. I know why. Y'all do too. Amen. We're talking about the valley of dry bones. When the world nations recognize them as a nation. Now listen. Let me just say this. All through the history of the Israel state, the Jewish people, they have always been under persecution. Always. I said this little statement in the man's prayer meeting that, Obama got on TV and, it was Fox News Live with Netanyahu, and he made this statement about the difference between him and Obama. He said, Obama is concerned about the security of his nation. I'm concerned about the survival of my nation. And that's been throughout the years and after years, because they'd just tie a bomb to a child, put them in a farmer's market and blow up and kill everybody. And won't think nothing of it. Now, church, I'm talking about something that's very important this morning. We're talking about God, and we have pushed the apple of his eye, or Washington, D.C. folks has, and be ready. And it's not over yet. Amen. But he says right before he comes, he's going to draw the people back to the nation. Once again, and we know that the United Nations in 1948, I believe it's in May, I thought it was December, it's in May, they recognize Israel as a nation. Your prophecy fulfilled. And now he says, when that happens, look up for your redemption draws nigh. So this generation should not pass until we see these things happen, right? Well, what is a generation? Some says 40 years, some says 60, some says 70. We're on the verge of the rapture today. Amen. Nation Israel became a nation recognized by the world in 1948. So this land, as far as Abraham could see, was given to the Jewish people, and they have the right to the land today, regardless of what Obama in Iran says. Amen. If you haven't noticed, in the last couple of years, the assaults upon the nation of Israel has increased. This past month, Obama showed the world that he has officially betrayed our last strong ally, at least, listen, slapped them across the face by not supporting Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu in this past election. All the other, Russia called him, China called him and said, congratulations. But finally, 5 days later, it was a little a message over the phone said, congratulations. But it was no conversations. When you have to twist a man, I can't believe that it took the pressure of the media and the Americans to say, you better call. It's sad, but this is true. Obama doesn't like Israel. Y'all understand that. He has proved that over and over and over again. Not only he was sworn in on the Bible like the other prisoners, but behind the scenes he was sworn in on the Quran. Do y'all understand that? Why? Because he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim. Obama has put a curse on America, and now it's time for the curse to show itself. From the suggestion that Israel should go back to the year of 67 borderlines and to come agreement with the Iranians over this nuclear bomb deal. Say, y'all stop this nuclear project. And we'll state the sanctions back on, we'll take the sanctions back off your country. Come up with agreement, like, hey, y'all just put up the nuclear chemicals in the shelves there for a while. That's a lie straight out of hell. Iran, listen, there's a country that wants to blow everybody off the, if you don't, listen, convert to Muslim, you're dead. And their number one goal is to blow Israel off the map. It's so sad that he can go ahead to do this and do that without the support of Congress. He's making his own laws. He has bypassed the Constitution, and we got scaredy cats called the Republicans up there. They're so worried about a $200,000 a year paycheck and their benefits, retirement, and then to stand up for what this nation was once. Listen, we was founded on Christianity. On that Holy Father, on that holy book you have. And people died and suffered over the last 200 years because of that blessed book we have. Let me just say it goes back to the Dark Ages. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. Now when Obama speak about giving up the land back to the 67 land boundaries, the year of 67, we're talking about the Gaza Strip. We're talking about Golan Heights and the West Bank. Now let me say this. There's over 10 million Palestinians, in which also houses Hamas, Islamic Party of the Palestinians. Now, we're talking about PLO stuff. Amen. Hamas is known for its suicide bombings, like the militia jihadist organizations. Its mission is simple, to destroy the Jews. It catches the character of Hamas, calls for the destruction of the state of Israel. And then the establishment of a Palestinian Islamic State in the area that is now Israel. We're talking about Gaza Strip again. All that, the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Golan Heights. But you see, the country, not only America, President, but other country wants to have this, hey, I call them the Philistines. They want their own state. And they're wanting to take part of the Golan Heights. And that's including the city of Jerusalem. To be a state. The Philistinians are doing that. Or you call them Palestinians. Now, understand this. It will be a cold day in the devil's hell before Israel give up land. Amen. God gave it to them. Think about it. Going back to the 67 boundaries means giving up God's holy city, breaking God's covenant. And you see, Jerusalem is the city of God. In the last days, during the thousand-year reign, the millennium reign, when we're all going to join with Jesus or rule out of Jerusalem, that is going to be called the city of Zion. Amen. My. We're talking about a covenant. It cannot be amended by the UN nor by the United States. Any nation that forces Israel to divide the land will come under the swift and certain judgment of the Almighty God. Now, would you find that preacher in Joel chapter 3, verse 2? It's time for America to stop asking Israel to give up more land, to agree for Iran to have a nuclear warhead with terrorist armies and organizations sworn to the destruction. It's time for America to stop that stuff. Iran and the other Muslim country, if you don't convert, you're dead. And the prison, and then Prophet Joel stated that God judges nations that are involved in parting the land of Israel. And again, that's in Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Remember, it's everlasting covenant. It's a covenant with Abraham. You'll find this in Psalms 105. I got to hurry. Psalms 105, verse 9 and 10. Again, God deals with nations according to this covenant. You bless Israel, God's going to bless you. You curse it, you're going to get a curse. It's an unconditional covenant. No human, no spirit outside of God can break this covenant. And God gives them a promise. Listen, he will not even break that covenant, and he didn't. The Babylonians took them, and y'all understand that. Then the Roman Empire came in, huh? Y'all remember that? But the covenant of the land still belongs to the nation of Israel. Again, our very own president wants God's people to give up line boundaries. My. I still say we're tempting God here. Y'all agree with me on that? Amen. What little protection we have from God, and I'm telling you, we're tempting God, and what little protection we have from God now is going to be removed. If Obama don't make some things right with God, he probably already crossed God's boundary line. And I feel that like he already has. Believe it or not, Abraham covenant is impacting the world today. It is. Everybody's, all the eyes on the Middle East. Y'all understand that? It's not on California or Arkansas. All the eyes are on the little country called Israel. Now, we know there's a couple of religions that's out there that claims to be from Abraham. We know there's only one true religion that God approves of. We have the Judeo-Christianity, which includes the Old New Testament. We have the perfect, inspired Word of God, do we not, which came by God, and His Word became flesh. We know this in John chapter 1, verse 14. And through another bloodline of Abraham, we have a religion called Islamic. Now, I'm giving you some history again. Through the bloodline of Abraham, we now have a religion, a false religion, is called the Islamic. Did y'all know that? Okay. Which produced Muhammad, and this one man gave a book to the world, which is called the Quran. They all claim to be the religion, a descendant of Abraham. And that cannot be. Things that are different cannot be the same. Amen. Listen to what I'm about to say. I don't believe God blesses America solely on what goes on in our political arena. You see, I don't think America is great because of our political process. I believe America is great because of God. And we're about to lose we're on borrowed time. Amen. I know that America is in trouble, and you know it too. But we're heading down the wrong road, church. And I know that America has turned its back on God in many, many ways. Let me just say many times. But I believe we can still preach, and I believe God can still send revival, not only to the churches, but across America. And I believe preaching the truth in the house of God is the most important thing we have in saving our churches, our homes in this nation. Our pastor's got to get in your prayer closet and make some things right with him for we can have a revival in this land, for we can put some Christians in Washington. Amen. We need God's mercy. We need God's forgiveness. And the answer is not in the White House. The answer is in the church house. That's how we can make an impact in our land. And then let me say this, another thing, we better be on the right side of Israel. We better be on the right side of God or that Bible or we're history. Think about it. We haven't been clearly behind Israel as we have in the past, and that's going to come back and haunt us. Did y'all know that Christianity cannot, it would not exist if it wasn't for the Jewish people? It wasn't from Hollywood. It wasn't from the Roman Empire. I don't care what the Catholic says. Amen. People today, they seem to mock Judaism. But they claim Jesus. I want to tell you something. You're touching the apple of God's eye, the pupil of his eye, when you mock a Jew. And I've seen it all my life. Oh, let's Jew them down to a cheaper price. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all done it. The Christian values we now hold dear are rooted in the theology practiced by the Israelites for thousands of years before Christianity was ever in the picture. The fact is, Judaism was on this earth during the life of Jesus. And by the way, Judaism shouted at the pagan world. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's what they said. Judaism gave us Christianity. It was Judaism that gave us the patriarchs, the prophets, the scriptures, and the Lord. Yes, our Savior was a Jew. Amen. In the life of Jesus, the Jews looked at Jesus as their rabbi. Remember what Jesus said in John 4:22? Salvation is of the Jews. They gave us the scriptures. They gave us, God gave us through the nation of Israel, prophets and teachers. And the holy word that you have dear to your lives this morning. The entire Bible was written by the Jewish people. The Jewish people gave us the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. They gave us the apostles which Jesus has chosen. And please understand, without the Jewish contribution to Christianity, there would be no Christianity at all. Remember this, the Jewish people did not need Christianity to explain their existence. But we cannot explain our existence without our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Society, death to Judaism goes beyond. Now listen, goes beyond the Christian faith. The entire world, especially in the U.S., owes a debt to the Jewish people. Why is that, preacher? Because of their contribution. Y'all remember Albert Einstein? He was a Jew. He discovered what? Atomic energy. Amen. The cell phone first got developed over there in Israel. Also, Michael Dell, a founder of Dell Computer, he was a Jew. The technology of AOL, Instant Messenger, was developed in 1996 by four young Israelites. And yet, out of 6.5 billion people in the world, the Jewish people just makes up 0.23% of the world population. Yes, my Savior was a Jew, and if you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of his eye. Remember our text, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 and 2, or 2 and 3. Now, listen, there are two sufficient blood covenants recorded now in the Word of God. The first one is between God and Abraham, giving Abraham and his descendants the land of Israel forever. Now, the second one, a second blood covenant, was the shed blood of the Lamb of God at Calvary. Shed for all of our sins, removing the curse of the law, brings all of us into a union with Christ. Before Calvary, only the Levite priest could enter the Holy of Holies. But after the Calvary, the veil was torn, and you and I can, man. Listen, we have access to God himself, for whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When God possessed the land deed, passed the land deed to Israel through the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forever, he did so with the most spectacular blood covenant recorded in the Old Testament. That's found in Genesis chapter 15, verses 7 through 12. And this covenant continues through Genesis 22, where Abraham offers Isaac. It continues through Genesis 26, Genesis 28, and Genesis 38. We're talking about a blood covenant here. I'm saying this. God's contract will not and cannot be broken. I will bless them and bless thee, and curse them and curse thee. Listen, at this very moment, our freedom is on the line, as I mentioned. It's on the line. And it's not going to be soon. I believe the rapture is going to happen. So y'all see what I'm saying this morning? Y'all with me? This gives us a clear lineage of who the Lamb belongs to and what is the true religion in the world today. Now, I may not be a great preacher, but I'm a brave preacher and I love God. I'm a very outspoken preacher. Me and John the Baptist were cousins. Amen. I may not be politically incorrect. Amen. If the preaching of the Word of God makes it politically incorrect, so be it. Let me just say it that way. I got confused a little bit. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Politically correct and then incorrect. I could carry a flip. I'm just going to preach. Amen. I'm going to preach truth. Well, listen, we still have the time to preach the truth. And if we don't hear it, listen, in the house of God, I want y'all to please tell me we're going to hear the truth. Amen. The only Bible truth we're going to receive is in the house of God, where the preacher is not afraid to preach the truth, even if it means his life. Amen. And that's where we are in America today. And if the preacher would get back, as I stated, we're losing, listen, the pulpits throughout America, we're losing power. The power of God is not coming on many of the churches today. We're talking about starts here in the pulpits. Because we tiptoe around money. Tiptoe, I don't want to offend nobody. Tiptoe of the social gospel more than the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We want it down this. We want it down that. We want to get patted. Pastors want to get patted for this and patted for that. We don't want to offend nobody today. Where do you find that in the Bible? Amen. Our homes are in the mist. Our churches are dying. And we better get back to the God of the Bible, or we're going to experience the judgment of God. Now, the Abraham covenant was passed to Isaac, not Ishmael. I'm talking about Abraham's two sons here. Because Isaac was the son of the promise, and Ishmael was born outside of God's plan. Y'all know about Abraham, Sarah, and the handmaid. I won't have to go. Many of y'all know that story. She was old and stricken. She was barren, couldn't have a son. She goes, hey, take my handmaid. We got to have a son. And that was the worst decision they ever made. And now you have Middle East crisis on your hands. Amen, amen, amen. It's a foolish plan. But we know the truth. Do we not, church? Amen. And these two brothers had drifted, has different bloodlines, different religions, and they have different peoples. They're all fighting for the same piece of land over there by the Jordan River, just east of the Mediterranean Sea, and they're still killing each other over this land. But I'm here to say this morning, listen, that the Bible says this, God gave it to the Jews. God gave it to the Jews. It's not to be sold, and it's not for any other leader of the world to tell Israel what to do with the land. I just read you, and I think it was Joel 3:2. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that was the verse. Hey, any leader try to divide the land, God's going to get them. And that leader represents America. So be ready, be ready, be ready. Did y'all not know that California is the most severe drought it has ever had in its history? It's going through it now. Brother Henderson, I talked many times about the drought there in California. And now I just heard they did a report on it on the news last night or 2 days ago, I can't remember, that it's in severe drought. They're going to have to start cracking down on the car washes and watering the green grass. We go through that in summers in Texas and Oklahoma, some, but we're talking for a long time. Farmers are putting up the plows and selling off the farms. And that means your produce is going to go up. You think hamburger meat's high now, and every 3 months, you don't expect when you go to Walmart. That big old stick of hamburger meat just a year ago was like $18, $19, now it's $29. That's a lot of hamburger meat, but it takes that much to feed my family. No comment, please. We got to get back to stand up for Israel people. We have no hope of having any blessings from God if we don't. Let's look at I'm going to read the covenant to you one more time, Genesis 12. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Again, how we treat Israel will determine how God treats us. Amen. The only protection we do have for the freedom that we do have is determined on how we treat Israel. But our far left news media, even our own government, are saying, oh, we're the greatest defenders of Israel. But behind the scenes, we'll bring the leaders of Israel over we won't even sit across from them anymore. Our Congress had to invite Benjamin Netanyahu in because our Congress, at least they know there was corruption in the administration. And all the world seen that. You know what the world look at us now? We ain't a world superpower no more. Our leaders got pantyhose on. Like many of my Baptist preacher friends. They're afraid to say anything anymore. But if you remember on these Wednesday night Bible studies, we're talking about false religions and deceitfulness. I'm telling you, there's more than one spirit. And it has settled across America. And it's indulging in the White House. Not only in the schoolhouses where your children are being taught the Philistine school system, but it's in Washington, D.C. It works through television. It works through symbols. It works through magazines. It works here and it works there. You and I are in a spiritual battle. We got to make our minds up what we're going to do. We're going to say truth to the Lord, say faithful to the church. There are people not here today because they have other things they want to do. But you just let something happen in their medical crisis or something like that in their life, you watch. Oh, I pray for me, preacher, and we supposed to, don't get me wrong, but I'm just using an example, and they expect, even all of us can pray, and God's not going to listen. Because some of us has crossed God's deadline, our country has crossed God's deadline, and the wrath of God is about to come. There's going to be something happening. I don't know what, because we have touched the apple of his eye. It could be this tomorrow, next week, or next month, or next year. But it will be soon. You'll see. And a preacher got to be careful setting dates. You better be careful of a preacher that says the rapture is going to happen 2 o'clock tomorrow. Now, I know some of y'all probably going, I threw that door at 2 o'clock tomorrow, right here. Now, I ain't going to mention Terry's name, but I'd pick him a son-in-law. Amen. My. We need to know now this Abraham covenant because of the enemy is... Hey, listen. The enemy is growing stronger. They're coming to our cities. They're coming with the Quran. And they're in Washington. They're into our government. The Sharia law has already been presented to y'all here in Oklahoma. I couldn't believe it when I went to vote a couple years ago. They had a Sharia law thing in there. I had to pinch myself. Said, did I die and go down south or what? It's coming. My. Listen. But a group of people stood up and said, no, we cannot have a Sharia law. Y'all, you ladies better thank God it's not a Sharia law. I mean, you can't even put a little bit of makeup on. I always did say you got to paint the old barn, paint it. Amen? But you can't even put nothing on here. It gets to a point where you can't even drive a vehicle. You got to have a veil. Y'all better thank God this nation don't. And you got leaders that's supporting the Muslim. Huh? It's happening. We went to Tulsa on Monday to get some stuff for the church there at Mardell's. And I was shocked to see even there at Sam's and a couple of the other stores, especially when I went to Sears, how much from last summer to now that I've seen Muslims. It was here and there over a year ago. But it seemed like every time I turned a corner, you seen one. And some of them was from India. I know they're Hindu and Buddha stuff. Y'all know about that little diamond they have, those women have? Well, when they get married, The husband's supposed to scratch a diamond to see if he has a motel or a gas station. Amen. And some of y'all are not smiling. That means you get up, walk out of here, I know what size you're on. What size you're on. Amen. Man, I tell you, and the hotel too. Yeah. Now, Brother Daniel, now don't go to the mall and see one of them and scratch that thing off and see if that's true or not. You might get slapped. Or she might go, la, 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 la. And you blow up. My son-in-law, he's a bad influence on me in this stuff, man. Amen, amen. Let me go ahead and close this out. Let me go ahead and close this out. Just for the last few minutes here, just for a couple of minutes, and I promise you we got to go home. Again, this is a teaching type sermon, and it was needed. Because I want y'all to be aware for what's happening out there. And don't be surprised if you see disastrous things happening. Which we've already been seeing it. And we talked about the first covenant was between God and Abraham. Now I want to talk about the shed blood of the Lamb of God. That covenant. And we go home. John 6:37. We're talking about the covenant of redemption. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. And please understand, every Christian is born into the body. Listen, the body of Christ is by the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? Amen. Every Christian is born into the body of Christ by the blood covenant of Calvary. And you and I are bound by this covenant. You and I are sealed to this day of redemption. How we know this? Because the Bible says that. We're sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Y'all believe that? Say amen. 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 And the best way to describe God's covenant is found in these words. And this little paragraph I'm going to read to you. When darkness covered Calvary's hill, God the Father and Jesus' Son were walking in the blood of Calvary. Reciting this, the contents of a new covenant. The Father asked, what are the stipulations of that covenant? The Son, which is Jesus Christ, answers, Father, let their sins be blotted out, buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again. Though their sins be scarlet, let them be as white as snow. Let the veil of the temple be torn down so man can come boldly into the presence of God in my name. Let them be members of the royal family, kings and priests unto God. Let them receive the keys of death in hell and the grave. Let them have power over the world, the flesh and the devil, over diseases and demons, over principalities and powers of the air, high places. Let Gentiles be adopted into the blessings of Abraham. That's in the book of Romans. Hey, I'm a Jew. I've been adopted. I've been drafted into the olive branch. And if you're saved, you have too. Amen. Let them no longer be without hope and cut off, but graft them into the olive tree as full partners with the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Give them eternal life and death and health and healing for the sickness and diseases. Father, give them my name and let them be known as my people. Let them be a covenant people, faithful, loyal, and true. The Father said to the Son, is that all? Yes, Father. And the darkness in Calvary, the Father agreed, and the Son cried out, it is finished. The cross of Calvary. Well, how Abraham seen that day. Through the cross of Christ, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 3, where I found that, verses 13 and 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. In the last verse we want to read together before we go home is Psalms. Turn there, please. Chapter 2, verse 12. Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. Now, y'all know I got enough notes up here. I skipped over a bunch of them. We can just stay here another hour. Amen. Psalms chapter 2. Let's look at verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessing, look at it, are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. If you ever been to the Wailing Wall, and y'all seen it on the movies, History Channel and stuff, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, you'll find a lot of Jewish people praying, bowing, and kissing the wall. Benjamin Netanyahu did that the other day on national TV. He went to the Wailing Wall. Why? Why is the Wailing Wall? That was where the last temple, that's where Jesus went. That's where Jesus preached and taught there. That was the last part of the wall. Herod's temple was up there. Now, y'all know, y'all seen the Wailing Wall, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't want to lose nobody. I know it's getting late. It's like 4 in the evening. Why they do that? Because it's the ancient walls, I stated, that surrounds the Jewish temple site there. To the Jews, it's the most sacred of places because Jesus walked there. And listen, Jesus prayed there so many times. Read your Bible. Now, these devoted Jews literally will kiss the wall, listen, signifying a cause, a reasoning. Now, stay with me. Did you know kiss the Son is in the Old Testament way of saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Huh? Acts 16:31. Kiss the Son. Do you remember who kissed him? Have you ever thought about what our Lord said to Judas Iscariot after he kissed him? Remember at Jesus' betrayal when Jesus led the mob, I'm talking about the Roman soldiers, out to apprehend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, I would identify you by kissing him. So he came to Jesus and he kissed him. Have you ever thought about what Jesus said to him? Jesus said to him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Matthew 26:50. Now why did he say that? Didn't he know why Judas had kissed him? Of course he did. Then why did he call him friend? Why? What did he mean there? It could have been, Judas, you have just kissed me, which has fulfilled the prophecy and has satisfied all the theologians who are going to come along in the future. Now you're free to turn and accept me. You're going to accept me. Free to turn that kiss of betrayal into a kiss of acceptance. You can do that, Judas Iscariot. And that Spirit of God says, kiss the Son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what it means. He said, Judas, you just kissed the door to heaven. Now why don't you want to accept me? Over 4,000 years ago, there was a covenant made and sealed with the blood and seen again upon Mount Moriah when Abraham was about to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac. A symbolic picture of Christ there. Can you see it? As Abraham leaned down and kissed his son, and he says, I love you, son. And he takes a dagger and lifts it up. And the voice from heaven says, don't do it. Don't do it. Church, please. The Spirit of God this morning is saying to us, kiss the Son before it's too late. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. He's coming back soon. And he's going to make good on his covenants that he had made with his people. Don't be a Judas Iscariot. We're the closest he ever gotten to heaven was when he kissed the door to heaven. God wants us to come this morning to the altar. Make this your wailing wall this morning. As we stand, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The invitation. During this invitation, I want you to think about the message. I want you to think about the blood covenant that we're under. The blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't we just go ahead and make a way now to the altar? This is your wailing wall. Come on. Let's have some invitation here. Please come. This is your wailing wall. Why don't you come and kiss the Son? Make some things right with Him. Bow before a heavenly